I'm Marissa Norcross.
And I'm Dave Freund, and this is The Next Page.
Hi, Dave.
Hi, Marissa. Hey, how's it going?
Good.
You know, since your office has moved, I don't see you anymore.
I know. Well, I feel like we've all just been so busy at MACNY lately, too, that we've been in and out and
right.
meeting with members and hosting members. And, you know, we're into our events season.
We are. So what's our biggest event coming up very soon?
Our annual dinner. So by the time this episode airs, we'll be like a week away from
yep.
our annual dinner on May 24th. We're expecting about, I think, like 650.
Okay.
Yeah. So it'll
is there
be
a
big.
Special draw this year?
We
anything exciting?
Well, we've got a lot of new and different things this year. One being our location is different. We're at the SRC Arena and Event Center. We've changed up our format a little bit. So instead of the we've normally had one keynote speaker.
Right.
This year we have a panel, which you are moderating.
I am.
Panel really isn't the right word. It's really going to be a conversation
right.
with some Wall of Fame, some of the members of our Wall of Fame, you included.
Yep.
And then we've also got a race car coming.
Oh, that sounds good.
Yeah. Our sponsor, Watkins Glen International, is bringing a car with them. And we'll have that at our reception, our cocktail reception. So it's...
Now, are they going to be able to start up the car inside the building?
No, I don't think
so. Oh, because they are so loud. That would be so cool.
No, I'm pretty sure okay. it's going to... Yeah, definitely not. Because it's actually, to have it in there, we have to detach the battery or unplug the battery.
Oh, okay. Disconnect the battery.
Disconnect the battery. While it's in there and
all right
you can't
it'll still be really cool.
We did ask if we could get in the car, but they explained that the only way in would be through
through
the window.
So
that tells you how much the ladies and I know about NASCAR.
Exactly. Yeah, there's only one way to get in, and that's through the window.
Yes, so. But people are more than welcome to take photos with it. We'll actually have a few of our staff members there that will be able to take your photo on your phone or whatever.
Super.
Yeah, yeah.
So. Oh, that sounds really cool. I'm excited. I can't wait.
Yeah.
And for me, it's closer to home than downtown, so I'm excited about that.
Yeah, it's a good... I like the location, too, because we all know that I am a sucker for good parking. So,
and there is excellent parking.
So much parking. Excellent parking.
Right.
We're really excited. It's going to be a great venue. We just toured it last week.
Great.
While they were hosting another event, so we got to see it set up, and we're really excited. So,
are we allowed to get a preview of what the meal's going to be?
You know, I'm not sure if I can disclose that, but
all right, so it'll have to be a secret then.
It's always surf and turf. So
okay, good.
So you have that to look forward to.
All right.
Yes.
You know me, I like my food.
I know
so.
You like to eat.
I love to eat.
Yeah, and we're going to have a special signature drink.
Wow.
That'll be
okay.
new this year, so yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Sounds exciting.
Yes, but we didn't come here to talk about the annual dinner.
No, we didn't.
Came here to talk about partners.
We did. So the blog post that went out this morning was entitled, Have You Found a Partner? And I was, you know, as I was contemplating on what I could write about this week, all of a sudden these memories really came into mind of folks that have come into my life throughout my life and have really, I've formed partnerships with them.
Mm-hmm.
And the first one that I identified was certainly the one with my dear wife. You know, we've been married 36 years and clearly she is by far the best partner that I could ever have.
Mm-hmm.
And I would hope, you know, God willing, I might get 36 more years with her. I hope she would say the same thing, which I'm...
I know she I'm would.
Okay, that's good. But, you know, we don't want to talk about our personal life, but what about our work life? And
mm-hmm.
and as I reflected upon this, I thought about a couple examples. And one that I wrote about was a toolmaker, John Strungowski, worked with me back at RPM Industries in Auburn. And I don't know how many years John and I worked together. I'm going to say 3 to 5, somewhere in that range. And he and I just seemed to click. If you think about it, and when I get into a little bit more of an acrostic regarding partner, the word partner, John and I were partners. Any of my strengths might have been some not weaknesses, but they weren't his strong points. And then the things where I struggled with, he had strengths. And I was thinking about how many times we got into an argument, and I don't remember any.
Mm-hmm.
And that's shocking because, shoot, I could get in arguments with myself. But John and I never got into an argument. Our mm-hmm. benches were right next to each other. And so I thought, it was a nice working relationship. We didn't get into arguments. Did we accomplish anything? And the reality was that really in a very short period of time, we both designed, and all of the work was done together. We ended up getting 2 U.S. patents awarded to us.
Wow.
And then there was one specific problem that the company faced where it was a product that we made, and the process that we were using was extremely costly. And our customers, one day our boss called us into his office, and he said, "Guys, we got a problem. Our largest customers, and I won't say the product or the brand, but they're not going to buy from us if we can't find a way to drastically reduce costs." And it was a significant part of the business. So to make a long story short, John and I working together were able to take a process that at the most you could produce was 60 pair of these, because it was a right and a left per hour, with multiple people. We made 360 pair an hour with one person.
Wow.
Now, it wasn't that we were brilliant. It was that we worked together and we encouraged each other. There were days when I perhaps was down and John was up, and you know, because we accomplished something that most everybody we talked to said this is impossible mm-hmm. to do, but we worked together and we did it. The next partner that I didn't write about that comes to mind, you know, would certainly be Dan Coons, the owner of SelfLock, where I worked for 18 years. He and I are, if you would look at our DISC assessment and plot it out, you know, our dominance, our influence, our steadiness, and our compliance, we were exactly opposite. And I remember when I shared Dan's with him, I said, "So what do you think of this?" He goes, "It means we make a great team." And really, Dan and I, for 18 years, we developed a great friendship, and clearly we partnered. I mean, he owned the business, but he had me run it for the last 12 years that I was there. Clearly a unique individual, you know, a man of high integrity, but we worked so well together. We partnered together.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so those were the two examples that jumped out at me throughout my working career. So I want to run through this acrostic, and then I'd love to get your feedback, Marissa, on, you know, what you think as we kind of go through this. So John Maxwell some years ago did a teaching, and I had put this in my notes, and I stumbled across it. So partner, the P is I will put your agenda at the top of my agenda. And that really touched me, because what John's saying is that if we're going to partner with someone, that other person's needs need to be at the top of our agenda.
Mm-hmm.
We absolutely have to put them first. But then somebody might say, "Well, wait a minute. If their needs are at the top of your agenda, how in the world are you going to get your work done?" You know, I started thinking about some examples of that in MACNE. And I really, Marissa, I really view you as a partner in certain mm-hmm. aspects of what I do. And I remember a day, and I don't know if you'll remember this. It was typically I get you my writings on Monday.
Yes.
And for whatever reason, I said, is it okay if I get you this on Tuesday or something? And you didn't say no. You didn't say you needed it. But you said, "Yeah, it'll be tough, but I can't," or something like that in mm-hmm. an email. And that's when it hit me. Wait a minute. I'm not putting your needs at the top of my agenda. You need it. And for me to be bold enough to just say, "Well, I can't get it," I'm now giving you a time constraint. You know, so really that's what I think John means when he says, "I'm going to put your agenda, your needs at the top of my agenda."
Mm-hmm.
Because I need your help. I couldn't do the podcast without you. I couldn't do my blog post without you. So really, if I'm partnering with you in this, I have to be working hard at making sure your needs are at the top of my agenda. The A, I will add value to you on a daily basis.
I like this one a lot.
Yeah, I do. So mm-hmm. when you think about that phrase, "I will add value to you," what comes to mind?
Well, what comes to mind when I read the statement is really that it's not about what can I get from the the person that I'm partnering with or working with, but what can I provide to make the relationship or the partnership viable and sustainable and valuable?
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. And, you know, some days that might be, and don't you love it when I just surprise you with questions?
Yes.
You never know. You never know what I might ask. But, you know, adding value to a person is just, you're coming into their life to see what you can do to help them.
Mm-hmm.
And it might be a technical expertise. It might be something, a learning that you want to share with them. It might simply be an encouragement or listening to them. You know, people need to have somebody they can just vent to. And I really see that as so for myself, like on a daily basis, I think about the people that I have in my life that are speaking into my life that are really being blessings to me. What can I do for them?
Mm-hmm.
You know, whether it's an encouragement, whether it's whatever it is, you know, if they love coffee, bring them a coffee type of thing.
I think it's a really great acknowledgement too of recognizing that like you have certain strengths that you bring to the table and that person has certain strengths that they bring to the table. You know, I'm lucky to have Julianne working with us now. She's a great partner for me. And I think we're both really good at recognizing, okay, these are the things that you're really good at and I'm just going to let you do them. And she lets me do the things that I'm good at. And together we add value to each other in that way because, you know, she's something that I might do begrudgingly, she does gladly.
And enjoys, probably.
Right. And vice versa. And
sure.
So I think that also helps.
That's awesome. That is a great example.
Mm-hmm.
So the R in partner is I will resource you with influence and tools you need to be more effective. So if we think about the people that we're partnering with, and you touched on a little bit with Julianne, where there's things that you enjoy or that she doesn't or vice versa, or maybe there are people that, you know, I know you could benefit from knowing. Maybe there's tools that I have, there's whatever it might be. So am I making a conscious effort of helping the people that I'm partnering with become better at what they do?
Mm-hmm.
And that's the key. It's just I'm looking for ways to be a resource to help this person that's speaking so much into my life. The T, I will tailor my efforts to meet your needs. So people say, what do you mean by that? Well, everybody has needs.
Mm-hmm.
But the question, and the question I get a lot of times is from people, well, how do I know what their needs are? You know, so how would you respond to that where somebody says, well, how do I know what somebody needs? How would you?
You know, ask them.
Just ask.
Really?
Exactly.
And I know, you know, it's like, it's something that maybe at first is kind of like awkward or weird. I mean, I have a meeting with Randy every week and he always starts with, you know, how can I help you? What can I do? What do you need from me? And at first, when we first started having these weekly meetings, it was like, oh, I don't know. Or, you know, I was kind of like afraid to tell him what I wanted. But now, because we've been doing it weekly, it's like, okay, well, here's what I need. Here's what I need help with. And here's how you can help. And here's how you can add value. And he doesn't look at it as me being weak because I'm asking for help. And, you know, I look at it as my opportunity to talk to him about, you know, where he can use his strengths to offset my weaknesses or my challenges.
Exactly. And, you know, and that's every leader should be doing that.
Mm-hmm.
They should be looking at their direct reports and saying, what can I do to help you? You know, what obstacles are in your way that maybe you don't have the horsepower or the connections or the resources to move, but I do. So let me know what I can do for you. And I know because I meet with him and he says the same thing to me. You know, and he starts out, so what can I help you with this week?
Right.
Which is really awesome. And you know, a lot of times I tell like the supervisory leadership folks that I teach, you know, our smartphones all have note apps. So start notes on your direct reports.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what do they like? What don't they like? What, you know, do they have hobbies? What are their families doing? You know, just so you can connect with them. And that opens up that communication path to know how can I resource this person? How can I, what efforts can I give them that help meet their needs? And I like organizations where people can say, you know, we have a team that really is fine with being vulnerable with each other and saying, I need your help.
Mm-hmm.
But those of us that really understand the value of partnership, sometimes we should even look and see it before they ask. You know, if you're going through the office and you see somebody with a mountain of work and you recognize what they're doing, hey, can I help you with that?
Mm-hmm.
Is there something I can do to make it easier? So that really is tailoring my efforts to meet the other person's needs. The interesting thing is this is contrary to human nature. Because human nature, people say, well, I want other people to meet my needs.
Mm-hmm.
No. You really, if you want to live an abundant life, if you want to live a life really making a difference and living significance, you need to start looking at how can I help meet other people's needs. The N, never violate your trust in me. You know, I will never do something that betrays that trust. And that's key.
It's so important.
It is, because, mm-hmm. you know, for instance, you know, maybe if you're sharing something with me that you just needed to vent, well, that has to end with me.
Mm-hmm.
It can't be something that I go, hey, did you hear what Marissa was upset about? No, it's nobody's business. You know, or if you're asking for some advice on personal, whatever it is, you never ever can betray that trust.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing is that I need to be accountable. If I commit to my partner that I'm going to get something done, I have to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And that was what really spoke to me about, you know, me missing commitments that I make to you on writing things was, wait a minute, I have to be accountable to her. You know, and could I say, well, I'm really, really busy? Yeah, that doesn't change anything. So are you.
Mm-hmm.
So is the person I'm working with. So just that's still part of that trust. Can they really count on the fact that I'm going to get it done? And there are times, I know, and I'll tell you, I'm stuck on this, and you're very understanding,
mm-hmm.
but it can't be something that happens on a regular basis. The E, I will exceed your expectations in everything that I do for you. That's kind of a woe statement.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know? But one of the things that I love is, I love the phrase, what's the difference between ordinary and extraordinary? And it's just the word extra.
Mm-hmm.
So it doesn't take much to exceed expectations.
Nope.
And so can you think of like organizations or places in your life where your expectations were exceeded? Mm-hmm. What comes to mind if I say, can you tell me an opportunity or an expectation or an event maybe that you went to or a restaurant where your expectations were exceeded?
Hmm. I mean, there's been a few like different customer service experiences that I had. You know, we all have anxiety about like contacting customer service when there's something
sure.
that you want
yep.
and that you didn't get.
Right.
I even recently when we were flying, it was like flu season. We were flying with our toddler.
Yes.
You know, I'm pregnant, so I'm more susceptible to illness. And I was having severe anxiety about sitting next to a stranger on an airplane with my toddler okay. on my lap.
Right.
And we all know that airlines are not great to deal with. They're quite rigid.
The friendly skies aren't so friendly anymore.
The friendly skies are not friendly. And I went to the gate agent in the Syracuse airport. And I thought for sure they were going to tell me no. And I asked her, I explained the situation and I asked if there were any rows that, because there were rows of three and we only had two tickets and a toddler
sure.
on our lap. I said, you know, are there any rows of three that you would be willing to give us? Like, I didn't want to buy a third ticket. I just
sure.
wanted to know if there was an empty row that we could move into, given
right.
that it was flu season in our situation. And she by far exceeded my expectations. And
wow.
She absolutely not a problem. I'll get you and you know, which one do you want? That was a great experience with that airline and we'll be more likely to fly with them again.
So who was the airline?
It was JetBlue.
How did I know that?
Yeah, and I do. I love flying JetBlue.
Yeah.
So
and that's why I had no problem asking. So
yeah.
it So in that case, all she did, there were empty seats on the plane.
Mm-hmm.
So she just had to allow you to shift your seat, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
It made you feel so valued, and yet it wasn't that much work for him. I was flying a JetBlue flight, and the gate agent just was updating us nonstop. You know, and it wasn't like, and he just said, just like to let you know, the plane that you're going to be flying out on is inbound. It's 10 minutes away. And then it was that flight just landed. So because we were going to be a little bit late,
mm-hmm.
but he kept us updated.
Mm-hmm.
He was exceeding expectations, you know.
Not wanting to violate trust by keeping
right.
you updated.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. I've gone to restaurants where, well, we just went. My son Tim had his 22nd birthday last Friday.
Aww.
So we went to Rosalie's in Skinny Atlas,
mm-hmm.
and we get ready to leave, and they bring over. We had some food to take home because their portions are so huge. They're delicious, but they're huge. And when they brought us the bag, there was a loaf of bread in the bag.
Mm-hmm.
Just, thought we'd give you this to take it home from our bakery. You know, little things like that are exceeding expectations. So really, all it takes for us to exceed expectations as we interact with people is doing just a little more than they expect.
Mm-hmm. Right. It doesn't have to be over the top. It's
not at all.
Something small. Yeah.
Something small. You know, can I, you see somebody carrying a box and just hold the door.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody expects it anymore. So that's really, don't make more out of exceeding expectations than it really is. Because, John is saying, I will exceed your expectations in everything that I do for you. It's just, hey, how can I make that just a little bit better, a little more special?
Right.
And then the last one are, I will respect our relationship at a level that I always give 100%. And I think that's key.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the struggles that I've had throughout my life is that the places where I don't typically give 100% is at home.
Mm-hmm.
And because it's so easy to not give 100% at home.
Right.
Because we think, well, what are they going to do? Take the business elsewhere?
Fire me?
They're not going to fire me. They're not going to leave. Mm-hmm. They're not going to kick me out. So I don't know. We should work the hardest
mm-hmm.
at really partnering with the people in our home life.
Right. Yep.
I didn't want to catch up.
Go ahead.
So John Wooden always would say this. So people would say, his players would say, coach, he would say to a player, you didn't give 100% today. And the player would say, no, coach, I'll give you 110% tomorrow. And John said, that's not possible.
Mm-hmm.
Every day, every interaction where we don't give 100%, we can't ever make that up.
Right.
Because the most a person can ever give is 100%. So the next time we think we're okay at giving 80, we just shortchange somebody.
Mm-hmm.
So what were you going to say before I rudely interrupted?
No, just that, thinking about, we use the word partner a lot.
Right.
And it's one of those things, it's easy to say, oh yeah, it's my partner at work or, partner on a team, project, whatever. But when you look at this acrostic and you look at all the points it's making, it really reminds
yes.
you that partner is different from, you can work with people that you don't have a partnership with. And
exactly.
You should be working towards finding those partners for, to achieve meaningful outcomes and to,
right.
and to make work better. I mean, you can accomplish more with other people.
Absolutely.
More often than not, there are very few things that would be better on your own. So,
right.
So really looking at these items and thinking about how can you transition the existing relationships that you have into true partnerships?
Right. Exactly. And that was the reason why I wrote this, because I know that with the folks that I have established what I believe are true partnerships, and I hope that they would as well. There's something different there. What happens is, and I kind of close the blog post, we add value to this person and in turn they're adding value back into our life.
Mm-hmm.
And, life is sometimes tough. In fact, probably more than not, it's tough. And if you can travel that journey of life with people that you have a heart for, so to speak, that you're invested in that relationship of working together, it sure makes for a much nicer journey.
Yep, absolutely.
So, partnerships.
Mm-hmm.
I have no idea what I'm writing about next week.
You beat me to it.
But I didn't have anything. I didn't know I would talk about partners when we did last week. No. So it'll come.
You'll find inspiration.
I will. I will find an inspiration. And it might be in this amazing weather. I'm not sure yet.
Oh, it's wonderful.
You know, as I'm looking out the window here in my office at home, there are these flowers. I think they're called alliums or something like that, that end up being these like lavender balls. They're huge.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes. Yeah, we have those.
And I see about 5 buds just getting ready to open up. So who knows? Yeah, there might be something.
I love those.
There might be something in that. I'll let you know. But maybe not. It might be something else. Who knows? Maybe I'll write about enemies. No, I won't do that. But any special plans for the weekend?
It's Mother's Day weekend, so we've got some family stuff coming up. But other than that,
awesome.
Yeah, how about you?
Nothing special. You know, it's Mother's Day, so we'll have the whole family here at the house.
Mm-hmm.
Sunday for dinner, my boys and I will hopefully put on. They're much better cooks than I am, so it'll be a good meal for all the special ladies, our partners in our life. So
that's great.
So with that, I'm Dave Freund.
I'm Marissa Norcross.
And this was The Next Page.